Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Yeah.
All right. Nice and perfect. I like that. So we're a couple weeks removed from Easter. And Easter should always kind of abound in our thoughts and our discipleship and things like that. And so today, one of you suggested maybe we take a look at the writing of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. So could I have someone read that for us, please?
Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done.
Okay. All right. That's it. Initial thoughts.
Well, it speaks to me personally about kind of my responsibility in this program. God called me here to because of things in my life that were holding me back from what he intended for me. But part of what he intended for me is to be mindful and to take actions that support others, and I'm here to help these other people. If I grow to be a bitter root here, I'm going to hurt everybody else, and I'm not here just to fix myself. I'm here to help fix the world. And I gotta help fix
Which kind of starts with fixing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I gotta help these guys here.
Yeah. I think it was Mother Teresa once said, look, if you want to change the world, start with you. Mm-hmm. Might have been Dorothy Day. One of those. Anyway, somebody else besides me said that. That's actually really good. So what do you do if you're feeling embittered, personally? I mean, what do you do so as to be consistent and effective on helping others? You got to deal with your own bitterness, right? If you're going to be able to truly help other people. So could you share with maybe ways that you do that?
Well, what I do, obviously I pray and I remember what I came from and the contrast to where I was spiritually, mentally, emotionally before I came here and where I'm at now. I mean, it's night and day difference. When I consider it, to think it's nothing, to think it's just pure chance is insane to me. And I see how it changed just since I've been here in the way the guys here interact with me. People tell me how I've grown, but I always got to look at the people around me to see.
Yeah, I mean, usually we think we have a pretty good grasp on ourselves, but really it's selective. I mean, it's kind of like looking in the mirror. We kind of see what we want to see, and occasionally you see that pimple or something, and you don't want to see it, so okay, I guess I'm just gonna, and we just move on. We need other people, all right, to be some of the true reflectors of who we are, all right, because everybody sees something else in us that we don't see in ourselves. Sometimes that can be challenging. You know, they may pick out areas that are in need of growth. And other ones are affirmations and complimentary that we may be not willing to esteem ourselves in. Right? So I think that's really good, because really this pericope is challenging the difference between a spirituality of law and a spirituality of grace. Oftentimes we cling so much to a spirituality of law, we judge ourselves in light of the mirror of grace. And we don't allow ourselves to see ourselves truthfully in that mirror of grace. Yeah. Anybody else? We'll jump out.
Yes. I would say on that, though, what you just said. You know, I'm big on, like, I hear a lot of times, especially being in the program early on, people also, why are you judging me? There's all about judgment and responsibility comes. But from that, I mean, there's scripture that says we're supposed to judge what is right and what is just. But to tie that in with what you said, it's, I think in Galatians says we're supposed to test our own actions so we can then boast in ourselves, not anybody else, not in a comparison thing, but the responsibility. I think what Mark was bringing up is Esau, he traded his birthright away. He sold it. It was an immoral thing to do. It wasn't his. It was a gift to him, right? The sexually immoral thing that they're talking about is a transaction, correct? It's like, because Esau, what, he married?
Right.
Yeah. Married outside of what he was intended to marry, or was intended for. Right? And I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's, when I see this, I see a lot of times, I've been in relationships, I have kids out of wedlock, and it was just a business thing. It was an immoral thing. It was like, all right, I like the idea of something. You know, I thought we were supposed to be together. We had some kids, but it was never that. As soon as stuff got tough, we weren't willing to work. I mean, we never made the commitment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It still happens. I still think even in my present relationship, we set expectations for each other. I know I do, and it's not a right thing to do. Whereas I think sometimes I forget that this is another person. Right here, I need to stop treating it like a piece of property. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I got some good.
It just kind of stuck out to me more because I'm in a very committed relationship at this point, and I learned some years ago that sexual immorality isn't what I thought it was. I mean, there's a lot of things that it is, but in this context, it goes hand in hand with lusting over a man's wife. It's just, look, man, why are you sleeping around with somebody you don't plan on marrying? Because you're just holding her up from having a happy life. And then every time you do something like that, it's just for your personal gain. Again, it's not money involved, but that's a professional. That's like a business mentality. How can I elevate myself to do something good for me above somebody else? So you take the money out, you change the wording around, and that's a business transaction.
Yeah. How do I profit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna say.
Yeah, I kind of like, I don't know if for me and where I'm at right now. Just going back into, understanding with God, I kind of use the analogy of the court system for me. You know, I did the crime, you know, so I mean, yeah, just do the time. If I just did the time, you know, and that was it, you know, I'm just skating through. I'm not getting anything from it, you know, but where I'm at in the, you know, the treatment program is the enhanced treatment, and it gives you more options, and there, you know, I believe God works through people and could work through them too, and if I just, you know, just push that off as blah, 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 you know, and didn't use it towards my benefit, then I would be, you know, shorting myself. So I believe that, you know, using that and, you know, just trying to better my life in that way, you know, as far as what do I, now I got it. You know, somebody gave me a grace, you know, God gave me grace, and he works through people. So I got grace. Now what do I do with it? To change, I have to put some action on that. And I think it's the same thing with my faith. You know, I'm here. Now what do I do, you know, in order to grow in the Word?
Yeah, just because it's a spirituality, grace does not negate any, our response to grace. I mean, our response to grace ought to exemplify Christ. What the author of Hebrews is really telling us here is that we are through the spirituality of grace, meaning what Jesus did, as opposed to Esau or any sexual immorality, an immoral act where we profit self or things like that, or a spirituality of law, which is about blood sacrifices. There's been one done. All right? So we don't need to go through that kind of law. That's what I mean by spirituality of law. Our response should not then be legalistic. Right? Just kind of going through the motions type stuff. If we really are touched by a spirituality of grace, we become empowered because we have entered this new covenant. And a covenant means this coming together. So kind of like a committed relationship where you come together. There are, to some extent, some expectations. I mean, we need to keep them realistic, of course. You know, if you're in a monogamous relationship, one of the, whether it's spoken or unspoken, is that you're not going to be cheating on each other. All right, and we kind of expect that if it's going to be monogamous, or else it's not monogamous. All right, type thing. But that's a coming together. Right? You come together and you work together. So with the spirituality of graces, how do I now work with God in God's intent for God's creation, of which I am a part of? Right, that ought to be our response. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I guess just you got to give it or you lose it. That's my thing. You know, this race, it talks about this race for learning this stuff, and Jesus wanted to complete it. We got to follow that example, study how he did it. That's the tradition. That's the responsibility. Is telling you right now, like, I'm coming up on 3 years to clean this over, but. I don't know what I do at the pantry. I'm in contact with people every day that they're still beat up. They're still going through it. They're still actively in their addiction. And I know them. A lot of these people I grew up with know them. So I see where they're at, where I was. So if I don't do something about it, help them what way I can, I can be that again too. So I'm confronted with it every day. It's just one bad decision away. You know. So I got to do, on the other side of things, on the outside of it, and then I have to do what I have to do to help. That's just what I learned. I mean, I gotta keep being selfless. You know, as soon as I start saying like, "Well, I made it, put my feet up, I'm good," you know, my bills are paid. This is, you know, my life's good. Forget them, disregard them. I'm not gonna have them access to me. I'm gonna keep them away. I think we do have to put these bubbles around us. You know, you push everybody else out. And we were once that. We were made complete and whole for a reason. So we'd be part of the community to help them become complete and whole and be part of this and show them how to run this race. And if you don't, you lose it. You'll learn.
I think that directly ties into the first part of what you wrote. You read, right? This idea of, you know, seeking, pursuing peace, making peace, the completeness, the wholeness, right? What's the other part? What's the other? Right? The holiness, right? Our holiness. That's us. We study holiness, and it's got that, but it, I mean, we need to look a lot like God. You had mentioned before we went on the air, you know, to be imitators of God. Well, how do you imitate God? Right? Well, we have to strive to be complete. We have to strive to be whole. We have to strive to be different. You know, the whole set apart, dynamic, all those things that accompany holiness, so that we look like we're providing and protecting, like God does.
My thing is too, like, what I was trying to get, the way Paul said, what's this in the message? He says, see what this means, all these pioneers blaze the trail, all these veterans cheer us on, means we better strip down, start running, and never quit.
Very good, John. Appreciate all of your insights there, and appreciate you joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.